Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast. Season 8. 8 years. Episode 5. My name is George. I'm here with Sean. Hello, Sean. Welcome back.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, Georgie Georgie.
How was your holiday?
Three things I want to tell you about my holiday. Spent the first night in a police van and a police station. Spent all the stuff in between fighting jellyfish on Costa del Sol and spent the last night following an ambulance and in the emergency room at Costa del Sol Hospital. There you go. So it was great.
Nice.
Love a bit of drama, me.
Here with Nigel. Hello, Nigel.
Hello, George.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my office.
Oh.
Yeah, don't have the same ring as it.
Ooh.
No, sorry about that. I've disconnected.
And I'm here with John. Hello, John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. What are you doing at this precise moment?
I'm in my loft talking to you.
Eating Viennetta.
Eating Viennetta.
One slice is never enough.
One box.
I'll try not to eat it now. I'll be good.
This is a West Ham podcast, not a Viennetta podcast. So we're here to talk about West Ham.
Viennetta might be more interesting.
I was going to say, I definitely enjoy Viennetta more. Yeah. What happened on Saturday? Let's start with John.
Let's start with John.
1-0 loss against Wolves. Please give us your thoughts, your analysis and your expert opinion.
It was rubbish. There you go. It's our first game, George, ourselves, because we missed the first home game being on holiday at the time. Mm-hmm. So it was that sort of, I don't know, it wasn't a nice feeling going back there. It was weird going back. Every time I go there, I always feel like we're visiting somewhere else. It's not ours. So it was just, you know, it wasn't a very nice experience. But the football was rubbish, unfortunately. And that's it, really, isn't it? I don't really know what's going on. My expert analysis. What can I tell you? We had no intensity. We didn't really create. I think we had two opportunities. One really early, and later on, ran out of it, hit the keeper in the face, and nearly knocked him out. Pellegrini decided to take Wilshere off, who I thought was having a half decent game, and brought on Obiang. So it's that, you know, an hour in, we had two defensive midfielders playing. I thought Fredericks was first time I'd seen him play. Did he play at Wimbledon? No, he didn't, did he? No. So, yeah, first time I'd seen him play, he looked particularly average. Anderson, you know, I saw some glimpses of him at Wimbledon, but he's 40 million and I don't know what he brings. We just didn't create hardly anything. We had no one working hard, no one running off the ball, a lot of very static. It was just, It was really, really poor and very demoralising.
I agree with a lot of that.
Went there, the stadium, it was different. You got pick and mix there, the beer's gone up. There's no signs in the ground anymore to do with West Ham. It looks like it's got the home of the world and your world stage and all this. It's just, it was just a pretty poor experience all round. So that's my expert analysis, George. I'm going back to my Viennetta.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I think the Wiltshire one really confused me because...
I thought he looked all right. He wasn't tearing up trees, was he? But
Wolves were defending well and making it hard for us. And I think if you need people to unlock defences, he's one of the best in the league on paper. So keep playing him.
I couldn't understand. I mean, Antonio had a really poor game. And I mean, his substitutions were quite late. And I just don't understand the Wilshire for Obiang. So you had Sanchez and Obiang in the middle for the last sort of half hour of the game. And obviously Sanchez did what he did. When he didn't look too bad. He didn't look out of place. He didn't look rubbish. But obviously he made the mistake that led to the goal. I mean, Creswell got done, didn't he, for the goal? And it was just poor all over. No. If you think of where we are, we went there with three games, three losses. You're at home to a team who's just been promoted. You really thought that they'd be up and at them and trying to impress. Especially the new players, trying to get some, something to show their fans, but it was nothing. Very demoralising.
Ryan Fredericks looked out of place, almost a little bit out of his depth, didn't he? Do we think he's nervous or do we just think he's not good enough? Nigel, give us your thoughts.
Fredericks. I mean, a 35-year-old right back called Zabaleta, I think, is three times the player he is. Maybe a bit harsh on Fredericks, and perhaps it's because, the old adage is, if you get him from player, he comes over to this country, you've got to give him 6 months to adapt to playing Premier League football because it is totally different. Fredericks has not really played Premier League football, and perhaps it's a bit of an awakening to him. If he was at Fulham, there's a good chance he'd be performing that badly as well. I don't know. He's playing for a new team now, West Ham. The couple of times I've seen him, I keep wondering, was he worth it, to be fair? I know he was a free transfer, but I might be being harsh. You've got to give him time to bed into the team. The problem is he's a new player coming into a new team, a new league with a new manager. But he's walked into a team where perhaps the fan base is fractured. And why that don't affect the performances on the pitch as such. But as soon as anything goes wrong, drags out, you can feel the pressure coming from the stands. Perhaps they are nervous because they know everything that's happened. We're now a fan base where the manager turns up and says, if you can keep them quiet and everything else, the fans will get on the players' back. And that's, that does happen, doesn't it? As for the game, John said it all. It's not frankly... I know it's mad to say on a podcast. A bit of me thinks don't really want to discuss it because it was just turgid.
There's nothing positive to say about it.
Even at 0-0, forget about the 93rd minute goal. If it was 0-0, I think we'd still be saying the same. It's just that Wolves hadn't scored. Both teams cancelled each other out. It was fairly even. But I don't know if you can hear that noise. Sorry, people keep WhatsApping me.
It's so
popular. Oh, no, let me turn that off. Sorry. That's it. So anyway, thank you. John's old phrase, isn't it? A good day out spoilt by the football. No, which it was a good day, to be fair, to begin with.
We had a nice little beer in the makeshift supports club.
Yeah,
didn't we?
White Post. Well, I had my little walk, didn't I, with the two Americans. Sowed in the delights of Canning Town. on the Hammers History Tour, and which Andy seemed to lap up one of the Americans. And we finished at the bowling, in the bowling pub, having a drink at 12:30 with the six others. And it was quiet at home. Oh, my life. What have we done?
Sean, you were on a plane for the game.
Well, only the first half. I landed. I switched on the second half above the clouds. So as about 10,000 feet, I can get a signal. So I started watching the second half.
Is that legal?
I don't think it's illegal. It's advisory. When they tell you to turn your phones off on flight mode, it's advisory rather than the legal requirement.
Is there any law 10,000 feet in the air?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
At that country's jurisdiction, just because you're flying 10,000 feet over them, the police, can they nick you?
I don't think so. There you go. So I've watched the highlights. I mean, let's start with some Opta stats, because I know you like Opta stats. West Ham have lost their first four league games for only the second time in their history. The first time was in 2010-2011 season, when Avram Grant was in charge. He lost all four games, winning the fifth one. But, of course, we were relegated in plumb last
position.
He's
saying like Nigel stats.
We drew the fifth one.
Go on. What'd you say?
Who? Which
George?
One?
George,
me?
What were you saying?
I thought we drew the fifth one, did we not? Against Stoke, I read today.
We did draw it, yeah. But we've got our first point. We're pointless at the moment. I mean, there's a lot of parallels with Avram Grant. I mean, remember, Avram Grant came in with, he took Chelsea to the Europa League final. He took Portsmouth to the FA Cup final, lost against
Chelsea. Hold up. Look,
hang on, let me finish before you argue.
Already, he took him to the Champions League final.
Sorry, Champions League final. He took Portsmouth to the FA Cup final to lose against Chelsea. He only lost six games in charge of Israel as a national manager. And whichever Israeli club team, he'd won the title like seven times.
Just one of those Israeli club teams.
So on paper, he was probably our most experienced manager, taking obviously Chelsea to the FA to the Champions League final. And yet, not long in January, David Sullivan said 100% support the manager. He's a nice guy with a lot of experience and he'd turn it around. We all know what happened there. I just hope history is not repeating itself with Manuel Pellegrini.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Also, West Ham have lost three consecutive games against Premier League home games against newly promoted sides for the first time ever.
Have we lost more games at the Soulless Bowl than we've won now? Is that, must be, surely.
I don't know. I'd have to look that one up. And Wolves, obviously, it was the first win for Wolves as well. I mean, you can't. And here's the real problem, right? The record is four, but we've lost four, but we play Everton next. Or is it Chelsea? I can't remember which way round. Everton are unbeaten. Two draws, two wins. Chelsea have got all 12 points, all four wins, and then we're playing Man United. There is a very good chance that we may go winless in September and he may lose seven games on the trot.
I think that's a real possibility, and that's why next on our running order is the question, how long has he got? Not easy fixtures coming up.
No.
After those games in September, even going into October, we got Brighton away,
yeah,
who have started the season well. And then we got Tottenham at home.
Yeah.
Who, you know, lost at the weekend, but looked dangerous. So could be even to mid-October without a win.
I fancy anyone against us at home. I mean, having heard that thing about the guy from Bournemouth on the radio saying that it's a great place to play football.
It's a
great place, he said, because you just know that you can just play your game because there's no atmosphere. So when you've got opposition coming there, it's a great place for them to have a go. It's like a national stadium, isn't it? So they pick up their game, and you know,
you can't blame the stadium for the way we're playing at the moment.
You can't blame it solely, I think you can. It does have an effect. I can't think we can deny it.
There's no way we can ignore the fact that we've not managed to adapt to that stadium and impose any kind of run of form and any kind of, you know we're going to have a go and probably win at home. Where a lot of the times we used to be that way, but we've just never achieved it here. This is our third season now.
Yeah. A run of a few bad results. All you bald haters come out again, and it's all the fault of David Sutton, David Gold, and Karen Brady again.
Sean, it's all water under the bridge now, isn't it? We all know. But like I said to you, what I said earlier in my piece, then when I said it about the game, just going back there now, having not been there through the summer, you know, you go in there, there's a bar missing. I went around the corner for where there was a bar. That's no longer there. All the beer's gone up. You go there, that's different food. There's different things. The beer that you always got is no longer there. It's different beers now. But you don't, when you go to football, you just want to know, you want familiarity and you want to feel part of a club. You never do when you go there. You never do. I never feel welcome going there. I always feel like, you know, you can't go this. You used to stand there, but you're not allowed to stand there anymore. You can't. It's just the place is not a very nice place to go and watch a game of football.
If we bring it back to football, right, what is it that Watford have done this season with you know, four wins, maximum points 12, that West Ham haven't done? Because on paper, Pellegrini is a world-class manager. A lot of the players he's bought are pretty decent. I won't call them world class. We spent a lot of money, 100 million. And yet Watford, who haven't spent anywhere close to that, four games, four wins, 12 points, close to top of the table.
They bought well. They've bought well and been managed properly and run properly.
Got a good team spirit. They haven't changed as many players as we have. It's not a whole new team.
That's the core
of their team's still there. They got a new manager, newish anyway. Maybe not this season, but end of last season, wasn't it?
Yeah, but if they had invested over the last previous two seasons, they wouldn't have needed to invest so heavily this season. It was the lack of investment over the last two seasons. Am I wrong in that?
Change the record. Do you know what? Everybody's saying this. I had a grief the other day saying, if there hadn't been an underinvestment over the last 3 years, we wouldn't be where we are. Look, we are where we are. They invested in Pellegrini, who's on £10 million a year. By the way,
he's going to be expensive to get rid of.
Well, no, because he's only a 12-month contract, rolling
set it
contract.
Up there for you, Sean, didn't set it up there.
Thanks, Ian. I hit it out of the ballpark. you should do the da da da. And, you know, Pellegrini, apart from China, he's got pedigree, and no one was complaining when he was appointed, going, oh no, another shit manager. No one was complaining when spent 100 million.
A lot of people were saying, and my words on Pellegrini's appointment, you can't deny it's probably the best manager that we've ever actually appointed, but it doesn't inspire, does it? It's not for some reason, it just doesn't feel.
Who would you employ then? If you had a free choice, John,
I would have rather had a younger, more.
You're going to say Eddie Howe or someone, are you?
Yeah, mate, or an Eddie Howe, if he would have ever come to us, or like Brendan Rodgers we were talking about. You know, even the what's his name? The guy who went to Everton. He was out of work at the time. You know,
Pellegrini's future? That's the thing, Sean.
Is he getting tired and old? But you know what? I'm writing a blog about this, and
67 years of age.
I made a joke earlier.
Look at it. They've gone. What they've done is, they've taken all the money the club owns. I had a manager, bought all these players, so they've literally gambled everything they own at the club. And stuck it on black and hoping the ball don't fall on red.
I agree. But let me do you an analogy that I think it doesn't matter who you put in that
50% of the chances, it may fall on red. And if it does fall on red, the club is proper. So this ain't bolting the door after the horse has gone. This stems from the way they've run the club in the past. The lack of underinvestment meant that, yes, it meant they had 100 million to spend in one go. But what it meant is the club was so devoid of talent that 100 million was spread across 10 players, which is 10 million a player, which actually doesn't really buy your proper quality.
I don't think it matters who you sign. And I'm writing a blog and it's saying, a bit tongue in cheek, it will say, we could have got Sir Alex Ferguson at retirement, well, if he's fit enough and medically fit enough, or got Arsene Wenger and signed Messi, Ronaldo and some other world-class. And do you know what? We would still cock it up because, you know, we're West Ham. It's a West Ham way. It doesn't matter who we bring in, player-wise.
Yeah, which is totally acceptable when you were not in the soulless bowl when you were promised the world. And that's the bottom line again. They promised us the world and it's still not happening. They try, at least they have invested. I accept that. And Pellegrini is on paper a decent manager. But again, as I said at the time, it doesn't inspire. And, you know, when they've really done all of the, or they did 40 million, was it 40 million on Anderson? Yeah. Seen him twice now.
And 36.
I can't see it. I don't, you know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he settles and he becomes a world beater because he's got to have something, isn't he, for that money. But
the only positive thing is, look at Palace last season. They lost 7 games, right, on the trot.
Sacked their manager, though, didn't they?
Hang on, 7 games, and they conceded 17 goals. In fact, in those games, I don't think they scored a single goal, so they were minus 17, and yet they finished 11th place.
You know,
two
got their
places
first goals
above
against,
us.
Didn't you? You know, they got their first goals
against West Ham. 2-2.
Yeah,
I remember. But yeah, it shows that we shouldn't be panicking and we shouldn't be calling for the
Sean?
Manager. I'm not panicking. No.
Are you calling for the manager?
Well, look, it's a bit of a slow international week. It's a bit of slow news week. So I've got to play a bit of devil's advocate on Clarence Hugh, yeah? So one minute I'm sort of running a little bit of questioning the manager. The next minute I'm saying Pellegrini we trust. But that's all part of the game to, you know, keep the whole media story going.
Well, you have to. When you lose 4 games on the trot the way Pellegrini has, you have to be able to question him.
Yeah.
And what he's doing. Especially when, if he was playing the same players and trying to build a team, you could perhaps see the direction. But he's playing different players every game. So to us outsiders, we're not party to his thinking. There don't seem to be a direction. It could be another 4 or 5 games till he settles down and starts picking a regular team. By that time, though, we are sitting bottom with 1 or 0 points.
How many games has he had, though, Nigel? Wouldn't he? You take in the pre-season, how many games has he had?
Well,
should he have some idea by now?
That's what made me laugh was Mark Noble's comments, realistically, about last season's pre-season and this season's, because I couldn't see a lot in there. Sorry about it, my dog's just walked in. I couldn't see a lot of difference, and Noble apparently said last season was a joke and this season's much better. Well, isn't it funny how we've actually started worse this season?
This club ain't being run by like a circus anymore.
Yeah. just to clear up a fact about the stadium, we're still in credit for winning more games than we've lost.
Hey,
are we, yeah?
Only by 3 now.
Right.
Wow. It's more than I thought.
And guess what? We won more games in the first season there, 10, than we lost or drew.
Well, you know, George, who comes with us now, who's been there for 2 years now, he said he's only seen him win twice.
Yeah, probably true.
Blimey.
Are you going to go to Macclesfield Town? Because we might win that one.
No, I'm not going to bother that one.
I thought, what's the name?
Keep the cup run going, lads. Come on.
I'm not going to be at a home game until at least October because...
why aren't you going in?
Well, because the next game is Chelsea and I'm at George's stag do.
Yep.
And the next game after that is Man United.
George wants his stag do for the Chelsea game.
Yeah.
We fly back on the day.
That's a bit of bad planning.
And the Man United game, I'm in Chicago for a wedding.
Oh, my life. You jet setter.
Yeah. So I haven't been in the country for any home game whatsoever, so I think I might have to go to Macclesfield Town.
Oh, I'll keep the flag flying, people, don't I?
So can I ask a question, George?
You can,
to each of you?
Yeah.
But so it's a Claret & Hugh poll question, and I'm going to ask each of you.
He only asks because he knows we don't read Claret & Hugh. Go on.
Should Pellegrini change his tactics? Funny enough, some people asked, has he got any tactics? But his tactics, if you remember when he first joined, he wanted to play attacking football, keep the possession, play wide, and play that high line that you, that made so much noise at the beginning. Claret & Hugh, we asked over 1,000 people, but I'm asking before I reveal the result, Nigel, what do you think? Should he change it or stick or twist?
Well, watching Match of the Day actually highlighted just how far behind we are the modern day Premier League football. Whether it's the influx or influence of Pep and the pressing game, and Klopp does the same, Liverpool, the forward pressing. Match of the Day's analysis of us showed we just walked about. Now, whether that's what the tactics he wants, drop deep, or...
Shearer called us embarrassing, clueless, and
yeah, but what
else.
I'm saying is, just with ignoring those comments, watch a lot of teams. Look at Watford. Look at Cardiff against Arsenal. Their attackers was their first line of defence. One of the teams, we just never did that at all.
So but my question is, and seem to be a politician's answer,
tactics are wrong or right. Not.
So he should change his tactics.
Well, they're not working, are they?
Okay, George.
Yeah, they're not working. That's my first response.
John.
Yeah, change. He's got to do something to get a win. He's got to. I mean, I thought watching it again at the weekend, I thought Babreno and Diop actually weren't too bad. I thought they looked all right. So, you know, is it time to be a bit more defensive? And
yeah, well, that's 61% agree with you that he should change his tactics, but 39% reckons he should still stick it out and carry on with the game and the attacking style and way he's trying to play.
Yeah.
How exciting. We have got next on our agenda to talk about the West Ham United Supporters Club. Now, I've put that on here because I believe it's a momentous weekend for the Supporters Club, isn't it?
It is.
What's the latest, Sean? You probably know more than I do.
So, legally, they've tried to oust the executive committee to get most of the members recognised, because if you remember, there was a vote to dissolve the club, and 43 people were turned away from the Berlin pub. And the Save Our Supporters Club committee have been fighting ever since to overturn that. And they employed a lawyer and spent a few thousand pounds and wrote an 11-page letter. The chairman resigned and didn't want to, because he was personally threatened with to be sued. One person stayed, who's not a West Ham fan, who is now the sole person on the executive committee, got an email from him today. Pat, his name is. He's either a Leighton Orient or a Spurs fan. Who knows? He, in different papers, he says two different things. But anyway, he has now accepted and recognised all members that signed up before a particular date, which includes all of us. So now there is an AGM. There is, interestingly enough, one of the things on the agenda is a vote of no confidence of the remaining executive committee. So the first vote is to actually sack the remaining executive committee and a cooperative member in Paul Christmas, who remains, and I think there's another one if they exist as well, to vote a new committee in, which is most likely going to be the Save Our Supporters Club, which have already created their own committee and all running the Stour Place match day bar and have already started the membership up again. And the last thing they want to do is abolish Rule 32, or is it 34? I can't remember. Never again can they try and split the assets up among the members who've been there over 8 years. 70-year organisation. And yeah, well done to the people who've been fighting fearlessly for so long to get this outcome. I must admit, At one point, I sort of said to them, I'll give up. It's not worth it. You're never going to change their mind. But they ploughed on, and be fair to them, they never gave up. And they're so close to success. But seriously, like Nigel just said, if you are a member, please go and vote, because you don't know how many people go, oh, it's a foregone conclusion, it doesn't matter. There are still people who could become quite wealthy and therefore will vote against this.
They're not quite wealthy. Come on. Yeah, I think you...
I'm gilding the lily, am I?
Gilding the monkey, I was going to call. But yeah, gilding the lily's probably...
Well, they would get quite a few grand. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
That's what.
Not wealthy, but in East End terms, that's quite a lot of money.
Gilding the lily. Thank you for the update on the supporters club, Sean. I've got next on here, AOB. Should we do FB2QTQT before AOB?
What's AOB?
Any other business.
Oh, right.
So he'll want to do his Super 6 and his Fancy League update, won't he?
That's what I'm kind of there for. And golf day, Nigel, a reminder for you.
Oh, the golf day.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting about that. Yeah.
Do it now. Go on.
So it's international break this coming weekend, which means there's no Premier League football or Championship football. So if you are at a loose end and fancy playing a game of golf, feel free to contact me. Running a charity golf day for the National Autistic Society Thurrock Branch. We're playing at Bellis Woods Golf Club, which is Averley, Essex, by Lakeside, by Junction 31 of the M25. It's only £30 for 18 holes of golf, bacon rolls, and a
pie and mash and gravy.
Pie, mash and gravy, yes. Yes, not liquor for something.
Ham, chips.
Or ham and chips. Yeah, whatever you want to eat.
Bread and butter.
They'll rustle it up. And there's like, obviously, prizes, but, you know, a percentage of the money goes towards the charity, which helps local kids in the Thurrock area on the autistic spectrum. A good word.
What's your cut? What's your cut?
I tell you, I don't get a cut, mate. Even East though end, I'm organising it, I've actually paid my £30 to play.
Two rights.
So I'm a proper decent human being.
Well, good luck, Nigel. I hope it goes well.
So, yeah, so
get down
if
there.
If you're
everyone.
A golfer, people, feel free to contact me. We have got someone sort of famous that's coming to play. So,
John Parry.
I won't quite call it a celebrity.
John Parry, because, he used to be on the SAB. He's quite famous.
Yeah, that's right. So, but yeah, someone, because every time I say someone, oh yeah, he's coming down, they go, never heard of him, mate. I go, like, LBC Radio? And like, oh no, we don't listen.
Oh, you've got Ian, what's his name?
Yeah, the geezer.
Oh,
he just got demoted.
Ian Collins.
No.
Ian Collins.
No, the other one.
Oh, who's the one who does the overnight one?
What?
Ian Lee.
No, not
Ian Lee. Oh, Ian Lee, yeah. No. Oh, hang on a minute. I've just got to look up LBC presenters. I'm sure I know who it is. Oh, it's Nick Ferrari.
It's not Sheila Fogarty. I know that. It's definitely a man.
Clive Bull. No. It's got to be Clive Bull.
No.
It's not Ian Collins.
I'll tell you what. Steve Allen's quite funny, but it ain't him either.
Ian Payne. That's the one I was thinking of.
No,
Ian
he used
Payne.
To be on the BBC. He's rubbish.
Is it Ian Dale?
And it's no, James O'Brien. I bet it's James O'Brien.
I wouldn't have him.
Sheila Fogarty.
No, I just said it's not her.
Anyway, Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage.
It's not an LBC podcast.
Not on, yeah, it's not. It's just not. It's not interesting. Move on.
It's not Eddie Mayer either. I wouldn't have him.
Any other business, Nigel? Should we do fantasy update?
Yes, we've not got a jingle for that yet. Then.
Oh no, I didn't. But what did we do last time?
You sung one.
Fantasy league update. Super Six update. Fantasy league update. Super League update. Got that wrong. Got that wrong. You ready yet?
No.
Oh. Every week.
Here we go.
I can tell a stadium story.
Oh, Dutch. Here we go. So, game week 4, people, on Fantasy League. Let's go to... I can tell you how many points I've got. Not a lot. That's a point.
4.
My team. Here we go. This is all live, people. It's all live. Game week points, 21. I've had a bad week. I've gone dropped down the table to 210 in more than just a podcast league. Number one, Pelly's Heroes, up from 3. Up from 4 into second place. We could have done Pick of the Pops. We'll have to get the Pick of the Pops. Morning pop pickers.
Pick of the Pops.
Pellegrini's Linguini is up to second spot. Stuck in third place, Barton Town FC by Matt Floyd. Down 3-4, team name from Kieran Shalou. And finishing the top 5, Pelly's Gringos, up from 7, Stephen Coates. So there you go, that's the top 5.
What are you down to then, Nigel?
Oh, I'm down to 200 something.
What? You were second at one point.
No, that's Super Six. I was second. I'm trying to find the first presenter.
It'll be me.
Well, none of us are in the top 50.
Are you sure?
God, this is riveting stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm 21, so I am in there. Oh, 21st. Yeah, have a look, mate.
Go
top
back.
50.
Hold up. 21.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah. Number 21 outside the top 20. Top 6 Hammers by Sean Whetstone.
There you go.
Got 49 points this week.
Top 50, my ass.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. So that's you anyway. Yeah.
Not doing so well on Super
6. Pelly's Heroes. Let's look at his team. He's got Alisson Moyer in goal. Azpilicueta from Chelsea. Oh, we got good points for Marcus Alonso, who I found out today, his father was called Marcus Alonso and played for Spain. And his granddad was called Marcus Alonso and played for Real Madrid that won 5 European Cups.
No way.
There you go. Fascinating fact about
it. Give us a Super 6 update, Nigel.
Hold up. Ambrose Mendy, Dick Van Dyke, Gino, Wiltshire Am, Salah, Arnautovic, Aguero, and Mitro. There you go. That's the fantastic. And while doing that, enabled me to log in Super 6. Here we go. More than just a podcast. 67 users. This is looking a lot better, people. In at 5, Ben White with 60 points. Up to 4, Jonathan Stansfield, 64 points. 3rd, for some reason, me with 66. 2nd, up into 2nd, Daniel Patnell with 66 as well. I don't know why he's above me. we've got the same points. But still number one is Paul Disney. Sorry, Disley. With 73 points. Hold up. This week's winner, though, was Jonathan Stansfield with 14 points.
Well done. Nicely done, Nigel.
Thank you very much. Professional.
It's time for this. It's Facebook Twitter question time. And earlier on our Facebook page, for facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast, I put on there, podcast at 7, one question, are you panicking yet? Answer below or ask us anything else. Well, just over an hour ago, I put that up and we've got 24 comments. So thank you all
what?
Very much.
Get out of town.
We are well popular.
Shut the front door.
Hold up. My mathematics, hold up. 8, 16, 24. That's three times as many listeners as we thought we had.
Michael Malin said, no, not panicking. We're going down. Accept it. Douglas Woodhurst says, panic is not the word. Frustrated, I would say, with the application of some players and lack of tactical know-how. Patrick Harris says, is the problem that the players don't have the pace and or talent to play his style of football? Well, probably. It's probably partly of that, but he did also choose who he was signing, so...
Allegedly. He did. Clark, not allegedly, thank you very much, Mr. Bucci.
Clark Hoy says, not panicking, new systems, new manager, lots of new players, same old moaners. Oh,
yeah.
Talking about you,
yeah.
Michael.
Yeah, and John.
Leon Hyde says, we need to think of this. Since the Upton Park season, three managers, no work rate, no fitness, no movement, no passing football. Can't defend and don't know for our formation. So what is the root of the problem? Three managers, same SH1T. What is the problem?
Sean, technical genius.
What is the root of the problem?
What is the problem? The problem is what I said, is Rome wasn't built in a day. And it will take time to integrate nine players in and a new style of football. And I said it could take up to Christmas. And I said, I hope I'm wrong, but I've been proved right. And I don't think we're going to do very well up into Christmas. But then we'll kick up a gear in the new year. There you go. End of story. We're going to do a Palace.
David White says, I'm panicking. I reckon Sean runs more on holiday than them lazy sods.
That's true. I did run quite a bit on holiday.
Penny Southern says, yes, defo panicking. We will get too far behind soon.
Hello, Auntie Pen.
Oh, is it? Is it like that, is it?
Well, it is. That is me aunt.
Steve Crisp says, probably need to go back to 5 at the back. Midfield not strong enough with 4. Arnie up front by himself. Or on his own, he says.
Throwing his hands about having a strop.
Orwello Hammers says, panic from day one after DS appointed a pensioner as beloved friend who just relegated Malaga. What did we expect?
Negativity.
Gary Killington says, I suggest we have a threshold where we can officially panic. Perhaps 8, 10 or 12 games with 0 points. Please, no.
Well, Sean, you have a story, didn't you? On that?
On what?
Didn't one of your senior sources say that no manager could survive how many losses?
A senior source under Sam Allardyce said to me, right, no manager, no Premier League manager can survive 6 losses straight, you know, back-to-back Premier League losses, no matter who they are and who they play for.
And that's not easy to say under Sam Allardyce, because with his weight bearing down on you.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
Billy Hardy says, Big Sam's rubbing his hands together for that big fat contract come November. What a load of SH1T. The only positive Fabianski and Diop look good.
Calm down, Bill. Calm down. That's my nephew, by the way.
Robert Jesse says...
What, nephew, auntie? What is this, a family thing?
Yeah, no wonder we got more listeners. This is whole of Nigel.
He's invited his whole family to listen.
Got to get those numbers up somehow, sure.
I've got to make myself look good, haven't I? Bring something to the party. I don't know what.
Robert Jesse says, yeah, I'm really worried that MP is too stubborn to change tactics. Whatever they currently are, it's hard to tell. Needs to be 3-5-1-1. The players don't seem to respond to him as expected. They all look pissed off. Gary Prince says, the stadium has sucked the life out of me. I no longer feel any excitement, or am I able to panic? On the plus side, I've got a feeling we will beat Macclesfield. Come on, you Irons.
Oh, really?
Paul Harris says, not panicking and not accepting that we'll go down. Still think that Pellegrini can get them playing. If we're sticking with 4-2-3-1 or 4-4-2, who are the best two to bring solidity to the midfield? Wiltshire and Obiang.
Ooh,
I know.
That's so another foreigner, isn't it? Solidity.
It's not Sanchez, is it? He was hardly solid, was he?
I thought he played well.
Well, he gave the ball away for the goal.
Oh, so 90 minutes he played really well. Just that last minute he let it go.
Yeah, well, he was 1 minute too early, wasn't it?
Oh.
Cost us the game, Nigel. Come on.
I know, he did. He did all right. Apart from that,
cost
one.
Us the game. I think he was playing for Wolves, wasn't he? It's Portuguese.
Carry on, George, please.
Matthew Atree, sorry if I said that wrong. Not panicking yet, but it just feels a little bit embarrassing, though. Still think we'll be okay, just typical West Ham. It's the hope before the season that starts that kills us every time. Spencer Godden says, I was pretty confident walking in Saturday that we will build on the Arsenal performance and gain our first victory. How wrong was I? Effort, application and basic skills all missing from another lacklustre performance meant that by the time I walked out, I really had the major ump. Does the manager give the players a right kick up the arse, or is the manager the problem? Answers on a postcard, please. I can't see him kicking anyone up the arse, to be honest. We had that conversation after the game, didn't we, Dad, about how he's probably sitting at home rubbing his hands together thinking, oh, one last payoff and then that's it, I'm calling it a day.
Well, no, that was a discussion saying that why did he come? He probably thought that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I can't imagine him tearing into him. I don't know. You don't know that, do you? No. The story that sort of leaked that Hart told everyone when he was leaving to get out of there because he was no good. Do you remember that story? That was a rumour that was flying about.
I also heard that Mark Noble went into the dressing room after the game on Saturday and gave everyone a rollicking rather than the manager. Do you know who I heard that?
No.
John Motson.
I didn't know you were mates.
I'm not. I just listened to him on TalkSport earlier.
All right.
TalkSport? What, Motty? I thought he was
he's on TalkSport now. He's on TalkSport. Paul Turner says, I'm panicking that 3 years on, the stadium still doesn't feel like home and the crowd has very little connection with the players due to the distance from the pitch, and this is affecting the performances at Stratford. I know Sean loves a stat. We have lost more games than won at Stratford. Sean can't spin that. Oh, Nigel.
Ah. Well, according to our stats, we've won the first season, we won 10, lost 5 at home in the Premier League. In the second season, we won 7, lost 6. So that's plus 6. Now, we've lost 2, so we're still in credit 4 games in the Premier League.
Premier League?
Yeah.
But cup games. We lost a cup game.
Right? Yeah, but, well, what did we lost?
We lost against City, didn't we?
Yeah, but we beat Accrington Stanley. We beat Bolton. We lost against Kajagoogoo. I've forgotten their names now, but I remember that. Kajagoogoo. Who else we lost here in the cup? That's about it, really, isn't it? So it might even itself out then. It might be plus 1 when you throw the cup.
We lost to Juventus. Don't know how that happened. Zaza scored.
Zaza.
Ben Ashelford says, has anyone seen the transfers of MP when he was at City? I'd say only maybe 2 of them were successful. His choices might be better at previous clubs, but maybe his eye for a player isn't as great first thought. Aaron James Chick says, I'm not panicking yet, but it doesn't look good at the moment. I think the players need to take a long, hard look at each other. At the end of the day, once you cross the white line, it's down to them. A lot of the new signings look like passengers at the moment. The only bright sign for me is Diop and Balbuena look to be finding their feet, and Fabianski is looking a terrific signing. Yeah, Fabianski does look good. Ali Jones says, not panicking as such. It's so West Ham to do this. Only we could and would. He needs to use this 2 weeks off to get his first 11 sorted and stick with it. Chopping and changing and dropping multiple players from the squad isn't going to help. While they are there, sort out a bit of fire and passion. We look like we hate playing football together. We have a horrible run of fixtures coming up, and we better all cross our fingers, toes, that we get our easier run of games with a couple of points. That being said, when do we panic? 10 games, you said, wouldn't you, Sean?
10 games, I panic, yeah.
Richard Dodds says, panicking, no. Getting frustrated, yes. Nearly everybody was happy with all the signings, and in particular the manager. So we need to do what we do best, get behind the team, close ranks, and become the fans that we've become renowned for. Loyal and supportive.
Oh, Doddsy, stop bringing up the old days, mate. The bowling's gone, let it go. We're not like that anymore.
Let it go.
We're not those fans anymore.
We're the averagely like we're the universally disliked club now in the Premier League, and the fan bases. Everyone dislikes us and just takes the piss now.
And we don't care.
Are we the new Millwall, Sean?
Are we?
Are we?
Sean's used to it though.
I don't know.
It's quite new to us.
Well, yeah, sure.
No one liking it, taking the piss.
Sean don't care. Thick skin. I don't care.
Mark Bright says, who knows what to think anymore? If we can't get a win under a supposed world-class manager and spend 100 million, then what the hell do we have to do? Again, the laughing stock of the world of football. Do we need to be relegated again and have another clear out? But this time, the squad and board, I have run out of things to blame now. I just hope this happens to our dear friends Tottenham's if they ever get into their new stadium. I don't think it will. Well, we got 9 on Twitter as well. Sub 6 says yes, should panic. Rosanna says not panicking, but slightly concerned given no points yet. And we still got some tough games coming up. Love you guys. Come on, you Irons. Oh, thanks, Rosanna.
Thanks. Is that your sister, that is, Rosanna? So we got aunties, we got cousins, and now we've got your sister. I should have got my brother to say something.
But, yeah. Obviously, Sean ain't got any family that like him that listen, so.
Boblini says MP just needs to work out what he's going to get out of some players and some lineup selections. I've no doubt we'll figure this out very quickly. I wish I had your optimism. D. Wolsk says Jack looks every penny of a free transfer. Thoughts on his play and who would you have in midfield? I think we covered Jack Wilshere. Thought he did all right until he got
pulled up. He wasn't spectacular, but he wasn't the worst player there.
I didn't expect to see Jack Wilshere pulled off, not going to lie.
Who pulled him off?
Pellegrini.
He pulled him off in front of like 50-odd thousand fans? Yeah. That's disrespectful.
Wesley Williams says not panicking quite yet. I think that I'll still stay calm during this next stretch if the team looks good, but if they put out poor performance, then I may worry.
If they put out?
Propodkin. Pell has to have a serious word about our work rate. Worst teams will beat us simply by working harder if things don't change. Ed Hughes says, generally, we are close to cracking this. Finally, a squad of technical ability. What is currently missing, but improving, is cohesion, communication, and finally that 5% more effort. And Jay Morris, photographer, Sean, you've replied to him. We're not panicking, but seriously have to question how we can sign a whack of new players and a manager and have the exact same problems on a pitch. I just don't understand it. And then, Sean, you use your words of wisdom about Alex Ferguson, Messi and Ronaldo.
I did, yes. Yeah.
Well, I got two.
Go on, then.
Believe it or not, people replied. So Mike Colston said, new manager, new players, but same results. There's only one constant in all this, Nigel, and it's the bald. I'll always panic while Sullivan is making the football decisions at the club. I'm with you, Mike. And Bobby Moore, RIP, says, nah. I've always thought we needed to bring in a now clueless geriatric manager back out of retirement to a league and style of play that's moved on with players no other team bid for. What's not to like? Hashtag sarcasm.
That is...
Where'd you get those from?
First, put a question time.
Well, I got them because I retweeted our tweet.
All right, okay.
And people replied to me, not to the tweet.
There was one last one that was sent to me personally from David Moyes who went, ha, ha, ha.
From David Moyes?
Yeah, David Moyes.
All right. Mm-hmm. I got told a story Sunday.
Oh, go on.
About David Moyes.
Go on.
And a conversation he had with a journalist a month after joining West Ham.
Go on.
and said, you don't think I'll actually work for these next year, do you?
Really? Who was a journalist?
He worked with a son. That's all I'm prepared to say.
Andy Dillon.
No. I ain't going to say, am I? Do you not understand that? It ain't a game. It's, you know, East End Vow Silence. When I say
Piers,
I ain't going to say, it means I ain't going to say publicly.
Piers Morgan.
What, for the son?
Yeah. Oh, it's Karen Brady. It's Karen Brady.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Got me. Yeah.
Got you.
It's probably her
Did
fault.
You see a daughter? Did you see a daughter at the...
Look at Mr. Pervo getting all excited.
What? I'm just saying there was pictures in the Daily Mail of her daughter.
That you shared?
What? Yeah. She's grown up to be a fine young woman, is what I say.
Is she 22?
She is 22, yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, I thought she was younger than that.
She might be 21, nearly 22. In a few weeks' time, but she's either 21 or 22.
Of course, she's a top model, and she did it all off her own back without any...
Don't you say anything. If there's one thing that upsets Brady, it's talking about Sophia, her daughter. So I won't have anything said against...
Why have you brought it up then, Sean?
I'm just saying she looks like a fine young lady.
And why are you sharing pictures of her then, Sean?
Because I wanted to see, you know, see her grow up and see how well she's matured.
Wrong.
Are we going to do predictions or I guess we should, shouldn't we? Because we probably won't do a podcast next week. So next game is Everton away. Sunday the 16th of September, 4 o'clock kickoff, live on Sky. What do we think, Nigel? Is it going to be our first point?
No.
Score, please.
Lose. 3-1.
You really struggled with that, didn't you?
I did.
John, your prediction for Everton away, please.
2-0 loss.
Sean?
It will be a loss. It will be 1-0.
Yeah, I'm going for a loss. 2-0.
By the way, your mate from Wales has just added another Twitter, Nigel.
Well, he lives in England, to be fair. But...
Marion. Marion Williams.
I told the others, and I'll tell you. You can keep calling him that, but he actually sits in block, I think, 114.
Is it a girl or a boy?
It's definitely a boy. So I think next time when I meet him, I will point you out gladly while you're not looking.
We're doomed, Mr. Malwaring. We're doomed, either that or cursed. Who's Man Wearing?
Captain Manwaring.
Man Wearing.
Oh, Manwaring.
You know, Man Wearing.
Corporal Jones.
Oh, Corporal Jones.
Don't panic.
Don't panic, Mr. Manwaring. Mr. Manwaring. Yeah, anyway.
I think that'll conclude tonight's podcast.
Yeah.
Well, can't be the best.
I didn't get to tell my stadium story, but that for another day.
Well, you got 3 minutes. Can you do it in 3 minutes?
You've got 3 minutes. Can you do it? There's only one thing he can do in 3 minutes, I tell you, and it ain't talking.
Well, there's been a story about the stadium E20 is going to go bust, but the only people that it's going to harm is going to be the Athletics, because they're the only one with a contract with E20. West Ham foresaw this, and they've got a contract with LLDC, who own billions of assets, underpinned by central government because Brady put it in. The same with the French Vinci company, LS185. They've got their contract with LLDC. So the only people it's going to go harm if it all goes bust is Athletics, and they could be out. The other story is
unless their
baseball.
Contract just gets transferred.
It won't happen. It can't happen. The contract forbids it. Baseball, the whole stadium's going to be out of action for 4 weeks. They've sold it for a song. They've rented it out. It's a vanity project by the London mayor. It's going to lose more money. And at the end of the day, it's going to be less music concerts.
And who's told you
and
this?
What, sources close to the baseball.
So sources close to the baseball.
So you've now got Major League Baseball contacts.
Yeah, I've got MLB people on LMB, whatever.
MLB. And sources close to the MLB are telling you, we're not going to make any money. You know, totally rubbishing the fact that they're doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. Bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, because, I couldn't imagine. I mean, I could imagine sources close to the club saying it, but I couldn't imagine.
Oh, well, of course, it's the club wouldn't say that because baseball's got nothing to do with them. Yeah. What happens in the stadium in the summer has got nothing to do with them. No. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
That's such a great story. Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I've looked at great stuff. Baseball. So
I'm going to go.
Yeah. I'm not. That
loss-making event.
Tonight's, this morning's Wanderers podcast. I have been George. Sean has been
here.
John has been
happy.
Ooh. Nigel has been
happy.
Corporal Jones.
Thanks for listening. Come on, irons.
Don't panic, Mr. Manning. Come on, you irons. More than just a podcast. Bye. Bobby Moore. Come on, Nigel, tell us who the journalist was.
Yeah, it was the Sun journalist. And his name was... I'm trying to remember where he was now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.